I came back to the tomb this morning because I wanted to see him again. I wanted to anoint his body. Yes, I heard they sent soldiers to guard the tomb, but I don't care anymore. I know they may arrest me. They may even kill me, but now that he's gone, I don't have anything else to live for. I've cried every tear I had until there was none left in me. I'm dry in mouth and skin and shriveled in heart. His death was my death too. I was not ready to let him go. What was there for me without him? He was everything. How could the one who had already raised my spirit from the death of abuse and addiction that I was imprisoned in, the one whom I had seen raise 3 people from physical death, how could he be dead? As I left the house, it was as though I had also died and left my body behind. Every detail is seared on my mind now, but it had a dreamlike unreality to it then. The mist hung in the valleys, the dew on the grass beneath my feet, and the grey olive branches overhead make the cool dawn silver in the paling light. There was an unnatural stillness in the air, as if the whole world was waiting for something. At the moment I was flung to the ground, the jar I carried smashed, infusing the air with spicy fragrance. The earth was erupting ahead of me. Did you feel the earthquake there? I mean, can you still feel the vibrations in the air and the earth? That was the moment. I'm sure of it. All the numbness fell away and a tremendous, heady fear shook me as I clung to an unturned tree root. When some small courage had returned, I looked beyond the tree towards the tomb. I could see that a rock had been moved away from the entrance. What could this mean? Had they taken his body away? Hadn't they done enough already? Who would want to further defile his body? Who could be so cruel and would not even leave a dead person alone? Did he want the body to prove that he wasn't the Son of God? I couldn't go on. My trembling courage broke, and with shaking knees, I ran back to the upper room. I had to tell Peter and John. When I spoke of what I had seen, they immediately got up and ran to the tomb. I followed them, but I couldn't keep up. But I saw them enter the tomb and pick up something white from within. Then they left, looking puzzled. Alone again and weeping, I went to the tomb and peered inside. There were 2 people there, but no Jesus. No body. I was so weary and confused, I didn't notice much about them. And they asked me, "Why are you crying? Why do you look for the living among the dead?" So I said, "They have taken him away, Jesus. I don't know where he is." But I didn't want to talk. I just wanted Jesus.
The image on my tile was shamelessly copied from a stained glass panel by 2 Danish artists. Jesus is shown bursting forth from the left with bright, solid colors, signifying irrepressible life. It was very hard to leave the panels near Mary Magdalene in rough, unfinished strokes, but it seems fitting for her experience of disillusion, grief, surprise, and confusion about why she couldn't hold on to Jesus. My name is Wendy, and I moved to Singapore in 2016 from the US with my husband, David, and our 2 children, Sophia and Emmett. Even though it was a joint decision and one made from love, it was not an easy transition. I felt that I had left behind a lot of good things, and moving here felt like I was starting over, and I mourn what I had lost. I'd like to share with you a conversation that I had with God following a Lectio Divina reading of John 20:1-18. In Lectio Divina, the reader listens for a word or phrase that strikes her and talks to God about it. A phrase in the text you just heard connected to my feelings about moving here and helped me to see how God is working in my life. Conversation with God. In this passage, Mary asked twice, "Where have you taken him?" and offered to take him away herself. This last part struck me as humorous, because seriously, how is she going to personally lift him? But in the second reading, the phrase, "take him away," made me cry, because hasn't that been my experience? Haven't you been taken from me, not to mention other things dear to me? And wouldn't I do anything to have those back? And then the ironic twist, that the very person she thought had taken Jesus away was himself, but living. Have I been grieving for a dead thing, mourning and trying to hold on to a life that is now past, instead of seeing the living person and future possibilities before me? And why couldn't she hold on to him? Because he didn't belong to her. No matter her passion and dedication, he had been transformed, and she would need to transform her view as well as her relationship to him. In my earlier notions of faith, Jesus' death was always the emphasis because it was deemed as a path to salvation. But what if in this second phase of my life, you want to transform my perspective and along with it, my experience and relationship with God? What if it is a decreased emphasis on the past, on the cross, and instead the next stage, the Christ that we can't hold on to, that belongs to the world and whose imminent presence is a mystery? You have left the body that died and was taken away. Have you taken him away? Perhaps the answer is yes, and I can't have the old Jesus back, and I can't have my old life back. The process of grief ends in acceptance, which is not the same as resignation, but a need to reconcile what appears to be contradictions and dissonance. Who is the living Christ, and how will I recognize him?
I just wanted Jesus. When I turned away, there was yet another man, and he asked me the same question. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? I begged him to tell me where Jesus was. Surely they would know if he worked in the burial ground. He said just one word in response, and with it, my world turned upside down. He said, "Mary." And it was his voice. "Rabboni?" My voice cracked, and then came surging tumultuous joy. I fell at his feet and clung to him. He was alive. I touched him. Warm, solid, oh, so real. My life was not over, but here, in flesh, resurrected. He spoke again. "Do not hold on to me, Mary. It is time to let me go. But I have a task for you. Tell my beloved brothers that I am alive, and I will meet them in Galilee. I am returning to my God and your God." I looked into his eyes. They were brimming with love and boundless, joyful life. The horror Weariness and agony of grief were lifted away in an instant, and I felt light as a feather. To do his bidding was my delight. So I went once again to the upper room. My glowing face must have looked so strange to them. Everyone there was pale and exhausted, puffy-eyed from silent crying. There were no tears left. They could not believe what I had to say, but just the remembrance of his beautiful face, alive and well, completely replacing the nightmare image of Friday, sustained me. I was not raving again. I had never been more in my right mind. I had truly seen him. First, he loved me. Then, he healed me. Rising, he gave me purpose and a reason for living. Living life in his freedom and joy, which I had not dared to believe even existed. Rejoice! Rejoice with me! For God is good, and God's love endures forever. The Lord has made it possible for every one of us to truly live, because he truly is alive. There are no tears left.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Good morning. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Okay. Try again, huh? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
I think that for a very long time, because of all the restrictions, we are not able to sing. And Easter doesn't feel like Easter without singing. Unfortunately, the restrictions are still in place. But we can reply to Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Our story is a resurrection story. Christ has risen.
Christ has risen indeed. We come wanting to celebrate an extraordinary historical event. Be gentle with us as we remember that our story has a context.
Our story surges with life. Christ has risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
We come ready to celebrate the extravagant welcome of a hero. Be gentle with us as we remember that the radical inclusivity of Jesus wasn't always welcome.
Our story is an invitation to revolution. Christ has risen.
Christ has risen, indeed.
We come with reserve to celebrate the exceptional life of a saint. Be gentle with us as we remember that Jesus asked us to follow.
Christ has risen. Let the resurrection revolution begin.
Christ has risen indeed.
Thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrows be washed away. Waves of God's mercy as deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come, come Lord Jesus. All who are weak, pain and the sorrows be washed away in the waves of God's mercy as deep cries out to
Join me in prayer. We thank you, gracious God, that Easter is not about a people, but all people. That your love and your salvation are for all who confess with voices, hearts, and lives. That the tomb is empty because Jesus is risen. That we might know forgiveness. That lives might be reborn and your name glorified now and for eternity.
Blessed be God forever.
Risen Lord Jesus, as Mary Magdalene met you in the garden on the morning of your resurrection, so may we meet you today and every day. Speak to us as you spoke to her. Reveal yourself as the living Lord. Renew our hope, kindle our joy, and send us to share the good news with others.
Amen.
God of life and love, your love story with all of humanity is the greatest story ever told. We pray for all who bring your word of life as a light to those in darkness, for those who bring your word of peace to those enslaved by fear, for those who bring your word of love to those in need of comfort. Lord of love and Lord of peace, Lord of resurrection life, be known through our lives and through your power. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Alleluia.
May this declaration resound not only in these walls, but touch the lives of all we meet and forever be the truth of which we speak. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. And now the moment that all of us have been waiting for. For those of you who are new, I'll give you a little bit of a background. Over this Lent season leading on to Holy Week into Easter, our church, our whole community has been involved in this project called the Witness Project. And it actually involves doing stained glass tiles. They're not made of glass, but something similar to put on our windows And so as you can see, our windows, our curtains are drawn because we're going to unveil these tiles to you. But what I want to tell you is that just as we prayed earlier, that these tiles are a representation of our stories of God's resurrection life in us, our stories of God's hope, God's love, God's grace in our lives. And so I want to together present to you our witness project as Free Community Church. And I'll get my lovely assistants to help us unveil the project. So many of you actually have submitted your tiles, and some of you may not have, okay, but that's okay. There's always still time. And I will invite you to come and take a look at these tiles after the service. But just to give you an idea of what had been happening, we're going to show you a short video to those of you here and those of you online, so you can be involved in this process as well.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in hell, let's pay this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. And on that cross, as Jesus died, the Son of God was crucified, and every sin he did forgive. Here in the death of Christ I lay. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said, source of strength, my source of hope, in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. Let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. A bit slower. Christ is risen. You should have that enthusiasm of Mary running out from the tomb and running back to all the other friends and siblings back in the upper room to declare that Christ is risen. While we use this proclamation during Easter, usually, resurrection doesn't only happen during Easter. Too often, we think too narrowly about resurrection. Have you experienced new life after having a part of you die? Have you experienced what you thought was a dead end, only to be surprised by what comes next? Did you have to let go of the past so you can walk into what is new that's in store for you? First of all, the team behind the stained glass project, Kin, Iris, John, Zihao, Pauline and myself, would like to thank everyone who has participated and contributed to the project. Each of you have spent time reflecting on your lives, reflecting on what has happened and your story with God and putting down. For some, it is going back to places that might be dark, painful, and then seeing hope, love, and light. It is really moving to see the artwork come together and also read some of the stories behind the artwork. Some of us were inspired by stories in the Bible. I drew the burning bush, right? And you have heard Wendy share about Mary Magdalene encountering Jesus in the tomb. We have tiles that's representing the priesthood of all believers. And you can see Noah's Ark somewhere. Where's Noah's Ark? The one with the rainbow. Yes, the Noah's Ark, drawn by the children of our church. Some of these tiles really make me wonder about the stories behind them because whoever drew it didn't share their story. There's this rainbow maze, and then there's one that I don't know. It's really interesting, and I wonder what are the stories behind the arrows and the stars and what the different colors represent. And there's one special one that the whole team was very curious. We were all puzzled because someone drew like a CCTV screen capture. And this person put a miracle and the date and the time, 7th September 2019, 6:09 p.m. And we wonder, what was that miracle? And those of you who are present here later, you can go and look for that tile and wonder what story is behind that. I think that story for this person is also about resurrection. Weave into these stories is hope, new life. Something happened to us and helped us connect with God and we find new life. I would like to invite Jay to come and share what is behind his designs. Jay, come on.
Good morning. My name is Jay. So I just like to share what came into my mind when I submitted this design. So basically, what I wanted in my design is that to reflect something that the time we are in. So since last year, we've all been in various ways of lockdown, isolation, being separated, and with all this, we need to do scanning here, and even payments are all contactless. So all this I want to be put in the design, but just let the people think about it and know that what is it behind it. So with all this design I had, I put the cross in the middle because I know that things may go crazy, but I'm looking back at Romans 8:28 that all things work out for good. So I believe that we're in Christ, so we have that. And in the middle one, you see there's a scan me. So this is basically a QR code of an actual website that if you do scan it, it really works. But don't worry, it doesn't go to my bank account. Just try. But anyway, just to let you know, it's a website of a church. So I just put that into picture that we have been impacted in so many ways, especially in our worship. So we do worship from being online, the early days of 2020, and then how we translate now and turn into a hybrid service like what we have now. And I really appreciate the whole team for making this work, and that's why I just put that in honor of the team who make all of this possible. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Jay. Yeah, you know, we have so many stories behind all these tiles, and today we actually wanted to share some of these stories with you because they speak of Easter, of resurrection, of God's love, and of what it means that we are together as God's people. So I want to share with you, firstly, David's tile. So David is Wendy's husband. So, of course, we let the woman share first, right? More important. No, everybody's equally important. Equally important. Okay, so in David's tiles, as you can see, very beautiful. He actually did two. The first one, he said he intentionally depicted God as female. Because God has all the qualities, right, of all the genders. And he wanted to honor that part, that tenderness, that nurturing, that love. And so he has a poem that goes with it. I wanted to read that poem to you because it's beautiful. It says, "My beloved, come in, sit down, pause, take a moment to rest. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. In my presence, there is no judgment, no shame. I know you fully, and I love you fully. You are precious, wonderfully and fearfully made. Nothing you can do can ever make me love you more. Nothing you have done can make me love you less. Nothing in all of creation can separate you from my love. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be." And his second design has to do with unity and diversity, is an expression of who we are as God's people in this community. And so, he also wrote a poem in it, and so I want to read that to you. "We link arms in a circle, each a different color of the rainbow, each unique and beautiful just as we are made. We welcome those who are different from us, our LGBTQ+ siblings. We seek unity and commonality in the midst of diversity. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We support one another. We journey together in God's kingdom. Four figures outside the circle, a sober reminder. There are still those who have not been included or welcomed, not yet felt God's love and embrace. We still need to draw the circle wide and wider still. In the center, the cross, the love of God, the center of what we do, who we are. Warm colors radiate from the center, the love of God ever moving outwards to seek and touch hearts. Isn't that beautiful? If you look at our stained glass window, you'll actually see quite a number of tiles have the rainbow motifs in them, right? And I think it's no wonder, because as a church that is LGBTQ affirming, the rainbow has great significance to many of us. Firstly, the rainbow is a reminder of God's covenant to all people, to all of humanity, God's covenant with us, and the hope we have in God. What happened, right, with Noah and the ark? The rainbow was God's covenant with us. And secondly, the rainbow reminds us of the diversity of creation and the human family, and that is why we take pride in being LGBTQ affirming. You see, in the next tile, Cynthia also has a rainbow in it. And Cynthia said, apart from being a biblical reminder of God's covenant with us, the rainbow has appeared many times in difficult moments of my life. Once it even appeared as I was driving and crying. God truly knows and sees us. God knows when we need a taste of God to pull us through. I use the intersection of two rainbows to reflect the empty and fulfilling moments of life. God is present through it all. And like Kintsugi, God uses our empty and broken moments to make a difference and impart wisdom. Life is not a soul journey. We have God carrying us at times, and at others, we have people walking alongside us. Some will journey for just a bit, others longer, while perhaps a few come, depart, and then return. And this leads into Ange's sharing, and you'll see the common threads, right, running through it. And Ange did a series of cat tiles, okay? So you can come and go identify which are hers, okay? They're all beautiful. But I chose this one, and I asked Ange to share, and this is a part of her story. She said, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior when I was at kindergarten age at Sunday school. Picture books of biblical stories formed the first images of a loving superhero God. The Lord began to carry me, likely having more to do due to my carefree and careless tendencies. Once at work, God intervened when in a hurry, I misaligned the position of my hand under a hot water dispenser, and the water landed on my hand. That landed on my hand was cool, but the water in the cup was piping hot. The Lord also built our relationship by responding to my naive and silly questions, and God often surprised me with God's perspectives. When I was reluctant to flow with God, God was gentle, but firm and persistent. And one such area was connecting in a church community. My introverted nature, the trauma from coming out to a fundamentalistic Christian parent in my 20s, and myriad horror stories from LGBTQ members who have participated in conventional church life fueled the aversion. Lord, I am only made of flesh and blood, I protested. When coming out to close classmates felt like a free dive, I realized that anxiety, which is not of God, had surreptitiously increased its grip over my heart. Another factor contributing to my reluctance was a strong holding on to the truth, and she put inverted commas there, until I realized that while God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, church history demonstrated God is ever evolving to draw more of God's beloved children. Ugly disputes over doctrine, terminologies, and methods had shipwrecked many Christians' faith, hindering the abundant life that was designed to flourish within love and unity. As the Lord continues to carry me, I pray that I will allow God to deepen and widen my capacity to dwell in community and take the necessary risks that come with forging connections in God's house. And I hope that that is true for all of us. It is a risk in forging community and connections in God's house. But I pray that that's the vulnerability that we choose. And I want to wrap up with Kin's sharing. Right? You see Kin's beautiful butterfly. And she said, Christianity has been a journey of many realizations and change for me. Metanoia, a constant renewal of mind and self-emptying. The whole process reminded me of metamorphosis, where a caterpillar morph or transformed into a new and resurrected creation. And you know, this is the message of Easter. God is birthing new life in each one of us, giving each one of us new stories to tell of God's love and transforming power in our lives. It is not just one event in history, it's happening even now. And there are many, many more stories behind each and every tile. And I wish I could tell you all the different stories. And to be honest, I couldn't tell you all because some of you have not shared your stories with us. In fact, some tiles don't even come with names. So I don't even know who to go interview about your stories. So please, come and tell me your stories behind your tiles because like Miak said, we are so curious, right, about your journeys, your stories behind your work. And I hope that all of us, we get a chance to hear each other's stories and remember God's resurrection power amongst us, even today.
There are many common themes that emerged. The rainbows, the crosses, and then even some that speak of the storms in our lives. You can see someone showed two people on a boat. And in all of them, I see love and hope and resurrection. Many people have drawn about their life journeys. And interesting enough, they represent them through seasons, right? And I want to read to you Michael's story, and this is his tale. My stained glass window depicts four phases of my life. When I was young, I grew up in an evangelical church that taught me God loved me. I knew I was gay, but was taught this was a sin and separated me from God's love. For much of my life, I lived as a straight man and felt God was looking down on me, judging me for being gay. I never thought that as a gay man, God would love me as I was. In recent years, I have been receiving counseling to help me come to terms with my sexuality and childhood trauma. My brokenness has been mended by the cross. And even though the scars, still visible, remind me of who I am, just like a kintsugi bowl, I can see now that God has always loved me just as I am. The shame I felt in the past has lifted. I'm walking with God day by day, excited for the journey of faith ahead. Not only, we have received many tiles from our friends overseas, and Michael is in the UK. We also receive from Mark from UK, from Cynthia in Australia, and this is really a worldwide project. There are still a few on the way because of the time taken to get to them and get back to us. I'm expecting a few tiles from Canada. And we welcome folks to continue to contribute. Listening to Michael's story helped me remember that FCC has often been a place for people to discover that God did not stop loving them. And that is resurrection. A part of us died and came back to life again when we realized that God has never really left nor abandoned us. Loretta, who joined us during the COVID lockdown last year when we went into broadcasting online, has been attending our services faithfully via YouTube, and I bet with you that she's on now. And also on our Wednesday prayer meetings. She's not in Singapore. She's all the way in Melbourne. And I want to share with you the video that she recorded to share her journey.
Hi, everyone. My name's Loretta, and my story of church is I was brought up in a very strict Pentecostal background where my parents used the Bible to stop me from doing a lot of things, from going out, from watching movies. And I grew up with always the Bible and its scriptures being thrown at me to control me in a way and keep me at home. My tile for the stained glass project is about how through all the seasons of my life, God has been with me the most here, after moving 6,000 over kilometers away. And I see that he's always been here and he hasn't actually left, even though I had left and I had turned away from God and I was like doing all the things that I shouldn't have been doing. And how even though for so many years I turned away from him, he has never left me and he has always protected me and he has repeatedly shown just how much he loves me through the prayers from my auntie and through the prayers from my close friends as well. How I found FCC was during the COVID period, and I was looking for a way to deal with my loneliness, and I was looking for a way to reconnect and have connections. And I was on Facebook, and there was a voice in my head, and it kept telling me like to search FCC, and I was like, that sounds really familiar. And I remember that a friend of mine had posted something about FCC, and so I thought, okay, I'll just follow this voice and I'll go and search online on Facebook. And I found FCC, and thankfully FCC at that point of time started to have online services, and I was like, bingo. So I started attending anonymously and very quietly. So I was like in the background, I wasn't saying anything. And then I also started to attend other stuff. And then that was when Reverend Myak was like, oh, are you one of those people that are quietly attending church? And I was like, yes, I'm one of those. I believe that after all these years, finding my way back to God through FCC has been extremely helpful, in the sense that I am continuously learning to live by His will and to forgive myself and to forgive others. And although every day is a challenge, I'm still motivated to always do the right thing. I have definitely changed, but I still have so much progress there's so much progress to be made. I'm learning to be mindful, trying to be mindful of what I say. I'm learning to forgive myself, to forgive others. I'm learning to be more compassionate. I'm trying to be more understanding of others. And I'm also trying to be more focused on building a relationship with God one-on-one, and knowing that by building that relationship with Him, I'm completely and utterly reminded of how much He loves not just me, but everyone else, and how He's always going to be there no matter what, no matter how many years we've been apart, or no matter how much the Bible has been twisted and turned and used against us, against Him, the truth will always come out. And I think that's something that's really helped me during this time. So thank you very much.
Loretta shared a lot more when we were chatting on Wednesday nights during the prayer meetings. And I invited her to record a video because her story is one of resurrection as well, and a story that resonates with so many of us. We will continue to receive more tiles And we still have blank tiles, for those of you who have not worked on it. And so you can come and approach us to get some, and even borrow some of our markers to go home and draw and have your story added to that. And periodically, we'll add in more and more pieces. We don't know. We thought at first that we're going to take it down during our anniversary service. But you know, we'll figure out then, right? We might be so in love with this that we might not bear to take it down. I don't know. And because this is the artwork of all our stories, right? In its context, this tells of an overarching story of FCC. But online, what we have done is we've scanned every single tile and we put it in a gallery. So you can go to freecomchurch.org/stained-glass and you can see the gallery. And for those of you who have submitted your tiles and want to submit your stories, please send it to witnessproject@freecomchurch.org so that we can include your story also in our gallery as well. So we shared only a few stories of the tiles, but there are more stories that are actually online in our gallery. I hope that you do see resurrection. And I hope that you see that hope, love, light can never be snuffed out. On Good Friday, we snuffed out the candles. But there was one that was not snuffed out because it can never be. God's love can never be snuffed out. God acted 2,000 years ago and rolled back the stone and left an empty tomb. And God still acts today, bring us back to life. As I was reflecting on the tiles and preparing the sermonette, there was one song that came to my mind, in the bridge especially. The bridge goes, God here and now be lifted high, right here and now be glorified. God of heaven and earth, God who brought me back to life. I am yours, forever yours.
Be glorified. so here I bow to lift you high. Jesus, be glorified in all things. For all my life I am yours forever.
I am yours, forever yours. We are yours, forever yours. This Easter, we do not have anyone seeking baptism or joining us as new members. And those of you who are still considering can join us anytime. It's just that we go through the liturgy of belonging only during Easter and our anniversary service in October.
While we do not have any baptismal candidates or new members, we'd like to invite those who are baptized to renew our baptismal vows and members of FCC to join our hearts together to respond to our liturgy of belonging.
If you're visiting with us or not yet ready to be a member of FCC, please allow us this time as we go through this together, and that you too will consider what it means to be part of the body of Christ.
May I invite those who are baptized to stand and join us in renewing our baptismal vows. So this is just for everyone who's baptized. So may you stand.
Doesn't mean that you are baptized just in FCC, but baptized anywhere.
Anywhere, yep. Yeah.
From the days when Jesus walked this earth, we have used a powerful symbol to show that new beginning, to express that we are new, clean, ready for a fresh start.
In symbolic cleansing with water, we wash away the sins, the old life, and renew our commitment to live with Jesus.
Friends, we gather now to celebrate the gift of grace in the sacrament of baptism.
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and creator of us all.
Dear friends, as we come to this font of living water, let us recall the meaning of baptism.
For just as a body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ.
For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body.
Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit.
Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it.
Jesus said, "Unless we are born anew, we cannot see the reign of God. Unless we are born of water and the Spirit, we cannot enter God's new order."
Paul the Apostle said, "All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into Christ's death."
We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God, we too might walk in newness of life.
Baptism is a sacrament through which we are united to Jesus Christ and given part in Jesus' ministry of reconciliation.
Baptism is a visible sign of an invisible event, the reconciliation of people to God. It shows the death of self and the rising to a life of obedience and praise.
Baptism shows also the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, God works in us the power of forgiveness, the renewal of the Spirit, and the knowledge of the call to be God's people always.
This is the water of baptism. Out of this water we rise with new life, forgiveness of sin, and one in Christ, members of Christ's body. Do you want to live a life for Jesus, following His commandments of love, living within the Christian community, making a difference in the world by sharing God's love with the other?
We do. God of mercy and love, new birth by water and the Spirit is your gift, a gift that none can take away. Grant that your servants may grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Fill us with the joy of your presence.
Increase in us the fruit of your Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of love, patience and gentleness, the Spirit of wonder and true holiness.
May we reflect the glory and image of God. Our souls carry the Spirit of God. We are joined to the body of Christ.
Our hands are the hands of Christ to shape the reign of God. Our hearts are the heart of Christ that will dream the reign of God.
Our mouths are the mouth of Christ that will speak of the reign of God. Our legs are the legs of Christ that carry the good news of the reign of God.
Having renewed your baptismal vows,
may the power of God this day enable us, the nakedness of God disarm us, the beauty of God silence us, the justice of God give us voice, the integrity of God hold us, the desire of God move us, the fear of God expose us to truth, The breath of God gives us abundant life. In the name of our mothering God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
So you may be seated, but the members of FCC may want to remain standing to join our liturgy of belonging.
Dear friends, is it your wish to make this community of faith, FCC, your church family, and the people with whom you will share your journey of faith?
Is this the place, and are these the people with whom you seek to make sense of the issues of your life, your dreams, your faith, who you are, what you do, and who God calls you to be?
Yes, that is my wish. Is it your wish to make this a place where you continue your journey into greater health and wholeness, where you listen to the story of God's salvation and the good news of Jesus Christ?
Is this the place where you allow Jesus to be an example and teacher to you, where you are called to a life of love, compassion, ministry, and justice, and where you are fed at the table on new life?
Yes, that is my wish. Will you commit yourself to seek and serve Christ in unity with this community of faith?
I will, with God's help.
Will you pledge your spiritual, social, financial support to this community of faith?
I will, with God's help.
Will you share the joys and sorrows and do all in your power to support each other in our life in Christ?
We will, with God's help.
Will you continue to embrace the gifts, the needs, and the dreams of everyone in this community?
We will, with God's help.
Will you continue to welcome others and allow their presence and participation to change the shape of the body and help it grow in new ways?
We will, with God's help.
Will you support each other on our journeys and assist each other in our ministries?
We will, with God's help.
Loving God, send your Holy Spirit among us, knitting us one to another. Help us to grow with each other, to love each other, to support each other. May we come to know and serve you through sharing our lives in this community. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
As executive pastors of FCC
and speaking for the entire congregation, we welcome each of you as active members in FCC.
May God be with us now
and always. Amen.
Please be seated, and now we will go into a Holy Communion. Those of you who are at home, I hope that you can take a little while to prepare your elements and join us in spirit, across the distance, and even in time, for communion. The cross is two lines intersecting. The cross is where sorrow meets joy.
Pain meets healing. Fear meets faith. Death meets resurrection. Hate meets love.
This table is at the intersection where two lines meet.
This table is the declaration that love is stronger. Love is stronger than hate, stronger than death.
This table where we break bread is the table of love, the center from where love flows.
This table is one of awareness. Awakening, of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of salvation, of love.
With grateful hearts, we break the space of history to share in your vision of sharing at your table where all are equal, all are free.
We ask you to bless this bread and this cup. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, that we may join with you in promoting the well-being of all creation.
Amen. We remember on the night when Jesus and the disciples had their last meal together, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat it, and as often as you do, remember me."
In the same way, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to the disciples. He said, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is a new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
May I invite the stewards to come and distribute the elements? For those of you present, because of regulations, please not reach out. The stewards will pass the communion elements to you. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means that you do not have to be a member of FCC, you do not have to be baptized, you do not need to meet any criteria. All you need to do is to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Those of you who are new or enjoying this, please hold on to elements and we'll partake it all together. God bless these simple elements so they will nourish and strengthen us in body and spirit.
Let us partake the elements together.
May I invite all of you to stand as you're willing and able to join in the prayer together. Together.
Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there's hatred, let us sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light.
And where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love,
For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, church, and welcome home, and welcome to this very special Easter Sunday service here at the Free Community Church. We're so glad that you're able to join us today, whether you're joining us here in person or whether you're joining us online. And if you are new with us, we would love to connect with you and invite you to be part of our community. And some of the ways that we can connect and serve you will be on the screen at the end of the service. Can we go to the next slide? Today is a very special day for us. Not just because we can come together to remember and celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but it's also because today is the day that we celebrate the one-year anniversary of our church online. This chart shows a journey that we have been on, and we want to remember this journey, and I just want to use this opportunity to thank everyone who has had a need to transform, adjust, change the way that we do things, and learn a lot of new things in the process. So I want to show you this really quick video to show you kind of like the journey that we've been on for the past 1 year. Let's roll the video.
Good morning, friends. Join us in the time of worship.
What an amazing journey, and how far we have come in the last 1 year. It's been a truly inspiring process for me, and I realized that inspiration is made out of two components, desperation and perspiration. That's reflection of what Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, saying that we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And what we have done is that we have realized actually in the process that God never wastes a good crisis. And now we have realized the importance of truly being a church without walls and being able to reach people where they are. And how important it is for the mission of FCC to be enlivened by the opportunity to be a witness to the world that God loves everyone, to be a witness to the wider church and extend an invitation to all to be a part of an inclusive faith community as we learn to be our hands and feet of Christ to this world. Why don't we just give God praise for the last 1 year? Hallelujah. So, the journey doesn't stop here. It's 1 year in. So, what's going to happen next? And you know, we have different seasons in the life, and what's really on the heart of the leaders of the church is the next season is really a season of going deep and wide. Deep and wide. You know, just like that children's worship song that we sing here. And we really want to invest in being a fully capable service team that has the capacity to thrive and carries the heart to serve our community. That's our four C's for the upcoming season. And deep really means that we want to get ourselves equipped and being able to ensure that we are really grounded in what we are doing and we really have the capability to being able to serve the community. And capacity is about going wide, being able to bring more people on board, helping to identify gifts, talents, and abilities, and then bringing people to be able to serve from where they are, whether they are in Singapore and can serve here in church, or whether they are remotely located and being able to serve from where they are. So here's a few ways that you can get involved. We are calling out for volunteers. As you can see, the number of roles and the number of ministries that have been birthed in the last year has really expanded in order to be able to serve that. And so one way that you can give and pour out your gifts is to volunteer for a team. If you're interested, you just have to drop us an email at info@freecomchurch.org. And there are some teams over there that have been just created in the last 1 year to be able to support the church services. But the other way, apart from volunteering, is also as a church, we want to be able to resource this work. And I want to invite us all, you know, especially this Easter Sunday, think about the mission and the role that we play as a church. And we have an opportunity in, during this time of offering to being able to also to give to the work that the church is doing to be able to reach people where they are and to bring our mission to life. So with that, as you prepare to give, there are a few ways that you can give. You're here on site. The ushers will come here in a moment. And if you want to give by cash, you can just raise your hands in the office. Ushers will bring a bag over to you. But if you are prefer to give digitally, and we highly encourage that, you can give by PayNow. And there are two QR codes there which you can scan. Or if you prefer, you can also give by credit card at freecomchurch.give.asia. Before we invite the ushers to come forward to collect the giving, will we join me for a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts to give today? God, we thank you that you are the God of resurrection. God, we thank you for this community that you have continued to walk with us and continue to bring us back to life, walking us into, leading us into new life. And God, we pour out our gifts, talents, abilities and our finances to being able to follow you and to being able to resource the work of extending your kingdom, to being able to help to preach the gospel of your inclusive love for all. God, we thank you for this community and everything that you are doing in it and for every person who calls this place home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I ask, invite ushers to come to receive the giving? And as we give, we're going to invite the pastors to come back for the benediction.
May I invite you to stand as you're willing and able in body or in spirit. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
This doesn't feel like Easter Sunday. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
So go forth to proclaim the resurrection and God working in you, the resurrection life that gives you new life, new hope, so that you can proclaim love and justice all of your days. So you can be the light and you can bring light. So walk with the feet of Christ. Speak with the mouth of Christ. And through all of your whole selves, bring glory to God now and always. Go in peace and love now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, whether here at One Commonwealth or those of you online. We look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.